Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. You know what you're listening to? A podcast for bold women. We forgot to talk about that. It's Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
Oh, I'm Jess.
Yeah, we were excited to say that we were part of iTunes' Bold Women collection.
You know who else was one of the other bold women?
Was it Oprah?
It was.
And like Katie Couric and Anna Faris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and us. No biggie.
No bigs.
Anyway, it's Fat Mascara. Here we are. What are we going to talk about? Beauty stuff, right?
First up, we're going to report on the state of indie fragrance. Then, cool sculpting. Just in time for spring.
That was so Oprah of you. Continue.
Does it work? I just went and tried on shorts, so I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm invested right now. And then finally, from the Fat Mascara fan page, I've plucked a question and we're going to do a deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break out of beauty rot?
Oh, it's so timely right now. End mm-hmm. of winter. Let's
I
get
know.
Into that.
Let's zhuzh it up.
And lastly, we'll talk to Jen's derm of choice, Dr. Heidi Waldorf.
Jen, I was so honored.
What happened?
The Fragrance Foundation asked me, and you, to be judges, to judge the indie fragrance section of the Fragrance Foundation's 2018 awards. I mean, this is a big deal. They're going to announce the winners at Lincoln Center, assuming they didn't change the venue, in June.
Yeah, it was really cool. So every year they pull together about like between 30 and 50 of the top indie fragrances of the year, and then a whole panel of judges. There were perfumers there. There were people in the fragrance industry, journalists like us. Girl, we sniffed our way through like a lot of perfume.
There were so many. There was an edited selection, but quite a few.
I think it was like 35.
I lost count, but we were going around this huge conference table. First of all, they were lined up. So the organization, I have to tip my hat to the Fragrance Foundation. It was like so methodical. All of the fragrances were lined up. They each had their little description, little stacks of blotters. And we went around like we were detectives, sniffing, sniffing, sniffing. You could hear a pin drop in the room. You know, we saw other experts in the room. We saw Jane Larkworthy. We exchanged a nod. Yeah. We saw each other.
Everybody was doing their own thing.
Yes.
I remember at one point, Jess like pulls me aside and whispers, she's like, look what that guy's doing. He mm-hmm. must have been a perfumer.
Oh, he's so funny.
He had written down the name of every perfume on one of those little fragrance test strips and then had bent them. That's a thing perfumers do. Yeah. They bend it so the liquid end doesn't actually touch the table.
Yeah.
And he was going back and forth from the table
with like midget writing on it.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, he's being thorough. I went on gut instincts.
Yeah. Totally was not like.
I said, is this high quality? Because you know, even if you don't like it, you can tell if it's a good quality yes. fragrance. And then I went back and was like, okay, once I established a quality level, it was like, which are the ones that are different and speaking to me and innovative and all that.
But he was like an engineer, the way he was doing. Yeah, he had it all set up.
Tell me your general thoughts, though, on the state of indie fragrance. These are the best of the year. Did anything stand out to you or seem odd?
Well, I think, you know, we saw eye to eye on this.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a lot of lightness in the room. And this
no.
wasn't because I smelled, you know, 30-something fragrances in a row. When I did hit a light scent, I was like, thank you, Jesus.
And by light, you mean like an airy floral, a fresh scent, anything green.
God forbid there was something citrus in the room.
A fruity maybe.
Yeah.
No. Indie fragrance is all about like wood, spice, leather, resin, benzoin. What
it else? Was like I felt like I was in a cigar bar, or you know yeah. what it felt like? I was in like a cedar closet.
There was a lot of cedar. You're
there
right.
was a lot of cedar, a lot of sandalwood. We know
a lot
that
of sandalwood. You're right.
I don't. You know, this seems like an easy grab because we were laughing about this with our friend Justin last week. Is this a little Santal 33 like tail? I just think the tastes have shifted where people really want to smell quite woody. Jane was in Hog Heaven. She's been wearing wood yeah. forever.
Yeah.
She's been smelling like soil forever. Now it's like, it's very normal. It's almost like basic to like these kind of woody
yeah,
scents.
And I think that's because it's the indies and they know that the main department store type brands and the big fashion designers are going to play the fruity floral note
yeah.
and floral note. So they're like, if we need to stand out, we're not really going to do those.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you, but I did discover a new brand.
What did you like?
I liked Fueguilla 1833, which I've been hearing about from a lot of people. It's like based on Patagonia, like a lot of the natural elements
in there.
Oh,
that's your speed.
I know, right? Woodsy, like forests, mountains, all that.
Doing something.
But they had some nice musks, and I always feel like musks are hard to do. So I liked some of their stuff. I'm not saying that's what I voted for, what I gave the highest scores to.
Okay.
But I was happy to see my DS and Durga favorite was a contender.
Oh, that was really nice.
Yeah,
El Cosmico.
Yeah,
that was very nice.
Did you have any that stood out to you that you thought were nice?
There was a brand that I really liked. It was called Exemplaire. And I don't totally know if I'm saying the name right, because we know how great I am at French. But it's a French brand, Exemplaire. The bottle really looks like those Chanel Exclusifs fragrances.
Yeah.
And it was, the fragrance was we're going to put a link on the blog, guys. I just, you know.
Give us an attempt.
It was just, I felt like there was something soft and romantic about it. And I really liked it. So.
And that's novel in this indie world.
Yeah.
So we'll also put a link to the Fragrance Foundation.
Didn't feel aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys can see what ends up winning. But that really is the trend going on in indie.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome for that little trend
report.
It was
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was fun, wasn't
was
it?
Was really fun.
Good times. So I have to address a topic that a lot of people have been asking me about, a lot of fans and things. Yes, I went ice skating with Johnny Weir. Not a normal part of my life.
No.
But I fell a million times. He saved me. It was great. The reason was he's a spokesperson for Cool Sculpting, which is that fat dissolving device.
What a gig.
Meanwhile, all I wanted to do was talk about Johnny Weir and his fabulous hair and all this. And everybody's like, can we talk about Cool Sculpting? Does it really work? So I feel like we need to talk about Cool Sculpting.
Cool Sculpting is something that I remember when I heard it come out, I felt like, this seems too good to be true.
It's true. So the reason they found out, basically, you are freezing fat cells instead of heating and liquefying them. And this actually kills them. And do you know how they found out about this, by the way?
How?
There were little kids that would present in like emergency rooms or pediatricians' offices with dimpling in their cheeks, like a pucker, like a pocket of missing skin almost. Turns out they were all kids that sucked on popsicles. So if you stick like a popsicle repeatedly in the same space, you're going to kill fat cells in your body because, you know, you can freeze and kill a fat cell. obviously, they really honed the science before they turned this into a device. Gosh. But what it does is sort of like vacuum up a little bit of your skin and then does targeted freezing coolness to that area in that pocket of fat so that it basically kills the fat cell and then your body metabolizes it. You pee it out. It goes through your liver, whatever.
Yeah.
And it can be less damaging than the heated kind because you're not going to like cause inflammation right. and that sort of thing. Have you heard of anybody that's gotten it and how it went?
I actually don't know of anybody personally who's, I'm sure some people I know have gotten it, but maybe don't want to say it.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. What was their report? Yeah.
So afterwards, everybody's like, does it work? Does it work? And I was like, I didn't get cool sculpting with Johnny Weir, though that would be a fun story.
That would be fun.
It?
Yeah.
No. However, I then talked to a bunch of my beauty editor friends, found one person who had it all over her body. She got every part done just to see like how it took in different areas.
Uh-huh.
So she did, you know, they call it the banana under your butt.
Oh, yeah. I know.
That I guess it's called the saddlebag. I hate that name, which is the outer thigh, the inner thigh, the stomach, the bra fat that sort of sticks over in the back.
She had it done all those places?
Yeah. And what you'll notice about these places is these are pockets of fat. Like you're not doing a full belly.
Did it work?
Of all the parts that she had done, she said the one that stuck and the one that looked and had the best results were her upper arms. Now, I don't know that it's like that is what it's marketed towards, but basically, picture if you have your arm down straight and there's like a little bit of hangy over your
elbow. I don't have to
elbow.
Picture it.
Okay, why not?
Because I have it. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay, so anybody who has like, no matter how skinny you would get, you know, you still have that little pocket of fat, bingo arms, whatever you want to call it. She got really good results there. I think if you're looking for hips and stomach and the places like a lot of women put on weight, it's less, you know, diet is really
Do you know if it comes back elsewhere?
No. And I don't know where that myth got started about the like, if you suck away the fat cell here, all that fat moves to another cell elsewhere. Like the fat cell's gone. Like you can still put on weight, but it doesn't mean it's going to go in like a pocket somewhere else and be like a lump
of fat. I feel like it has to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but it distributes throughout your body the way it normally always would. Just because you don't have that many, you know, you lost a couple hundred fat cells doesn't mean all of a sudden it's all going to distribute to like your kneecap instead.
Okay.
I mean, we can have another doctor back on to talk about it, but like it's a weird myth, right? I think it was like the old school liposuction that maybe did that.
Well, I do know, and I don't want to get into liposuction on this because I know that's worth its own section, if it not its own complete interview. We got to get Dr. Frank back in. But like, I know that if, let's say you get your butt liposuction, you might start getting like, oh, suddenly you were never top heavy. You might be top heavy now.
Oh, because the fat has to go, if you get a big, large area. Yeah. So liposuction is for larger areas of fat. And cool sculpting, obviously,
it's for these little bitty, itty little... Like micro areas.
Exactly. Or you could just like, you know, do what I'm doing. Go home, go to sleep, lay popsicles all over your body and hope for the best. I'm not doing that.
Okay. We're going to grab one from the Fat Mascara Facebook group.
By one, you mean a question?
A question.
Okay, let's do it.
So our friend Gabby wanted to know, you know what, I've got to say, hats off, Gabby. She bought an orange lipstick to try something outside of her comfort zone. And, you know, for me, that's what it's all about. It's about pushing those boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm going to be doing this spring. So just watch out.
Okay.
She said, well, she wants to know what's the best way to pull off an orange lip. We're going to sidebar that for a second.
Yeah.
But she really raised an interesting question.
Yeah.
How do you kind of push yourself and try out new trends? Because sometimes there's a few things that I have on the go, like certain things that like I've seen on the runways or seen on like other girls that I've been interested to try. But like sometimes it takes me a minute. You know what I mean? I have to kind of like digest it. And I think this is something that we all kind of struggle with. I see this come up again and again in our group and just kind of like comes up.
Yeah. Like all the girls at work right now are doing this like electric liquid liner just on their top lashes and it looks so cute. And I'm not an early adopter. I'm like, I got to feel it out. See how it looks on a couple people before I like try it out for myself. But then you don't want to wait too long.
Because then you're look like a lame-o.
Yeah. Like everybody's doing it. Like, and then now you're like the 25th person to do it. And you just look like a follower. But I think what we're getting at is like, how do you get out of beauty rut? You put on the same damn makeup every morning. And every now and then, like, okay, maybe I don't feel like going clothes shopping because that's not going to be fun for anyone right now. But, like, you want to change it up. So what do you do?
Especially with the turn. Okay.
What do you do?
right now, it's funny you mentioned like the liner. I'm not doing like a liquid liner, but I am very into like colors and jewel tones lately.
Yeah.
What I've been doing is I've been mixing them, like layering them on top, almost like sneaking them on top of like my typical like chocolate brown or like taupey shimmery liner.
Yeah.
I've just been kind of sneaking them in like a hint. And then I've been like pulling back the liner, like the taupe, to just be like ease on in.
Like, so here's a day with a little purple, but now we're back to taupe.
Yes.
Now today, a little navy, but now we're back
exactly.
to taupe.
And then one day, bam, I'm just going to hit you with all purple.
Okay. So you ease into your beauty change.
Just kind of like a transition.
Yeah. Can I tell you actually that Maybelline liner that you mentioned?
Yeah.
What was the name of it?
I think it was like something amethyst or,
I should put it down the blog again. So I was checking because we can see who clicks on to go through and like that people that went like gangbusters. People really liked your recommendation of that.
It's really nice and it's skinny. So it's like easy to wear. It's easy to just kind of like sneak onto the lash line.
I think it also hits on another thing about a beauty rut. Don't blow your budget on something new you're not sure you're going to like.
That's a really good
tip. So you want to try something new. You want to try orange lipstick like Gabby or a purplish liner like
Jess. Yeah, we're going to get to you, Gabby.
Like, buy the drugstore version. You know, go for NYX first before you like go all in with the Christian Louboutin, purple eyeliner. Because you don't know if you're going to like it.
I also asked Fiona Stiles, who, remember Fiona, when she was here, she was not like, I really liked her like approach because she was not a trend pusher. She was like, it's
makeup
all
artist
about,
Fiona Stiles. What does she say?
Yeah, she was like, not about like, it's all about like black liquid lipstick for, you know, spring.
Uh-huh.
She said, if you're really not a risk taker, really ease into it. If you just want to try something new, just wear it around the house, which is like what I love, like when I have like new shoes that like I don't know if they're totally me or if like they're a little higher heel than I normally like want to wear. I just kind of like wear them around the house so I can like fall by myself.
Yeah.
She goes, maybe take a few selfies and see like if you feel comfortable and like, you know, just kind of get a vibe or put on an outfit that you envision wearing with, like do a whole look. And see how it all feels. Or just wear it to run errands. That's what I do sometimes with like red lipstick to see like if it's too much.
Yeah.
I did that with Pat McGrath Vendetta. That was fierce. Remember I wore it to the airport?
Yeah. And you're and like, well, that's all right. I'm not going to see anyone.
Yeah, it was like 9:30 a.m. and I looked like completely like blown out.
So if you want to try something new beauty, wear it to the airport. No,
totally. No, it's like, who cares? Did you see everyone else there?
You looked better than all of them because you
and
had
I
on a red
crazy.
Lip.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's funny? When we said we were doing this segment, you said, what's your tip for the beauty rut? I totally misread the question because in my head I was like, okay, what about the people who want to do something different but don't know what they want to do? So that's what my tip is for.
Okay, give me a tip.
And I was just going to say, I've switched up where I do my makeup. Like there's a muscle. There's like a muscle memory thing to putting on your makeup, right? So you put it on the same way every day in the same place. And I've noticed if I move my mirror to like another room or if I'm in my bathroom, but then I move to my bedroom and do it there, just the act of being in a different physical space like makes me change up the way I do my makeup.
I love that.
And it's just like a little way to like refresh your look. So it's still the same products, but like I end up putting them on slightly differently. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I completely get that.
Okay, back to orange.
Okay.
How do we help Gabby?
So what I would do is I personally would just take my finger, put it on the lipstick and dab that baby on, sheer it out.
Yeah.
And then I would wear a little like a soft brown eyeshadow with it. So it's not like all focus is on the lips.
Yeah.
I would make it like kind of like a soft look.
Okay. My idea was this. Go get an orange lip liner. Line your lips all over in the orange lip liner, then put on your regular lipstick. So it'll just shift it a little bit to orange, but you know it'll still work for you because it's your normal color palette.
Okay.
So Gabby, that's two options for you.
Two options.
I feel you like we just changed everybody's life with this segment.
Well, you know what color combo I've been really wanting to try?
What's that?
Orange lipstick with that that purpley liner.
That's crazy talk.
You think it's crazy?
I want you to put that on. I want to see it. And we were going to take a selfie and do the whole thing and send it to Fiona Stiles and see what she said.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb.
your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay. All right. Challenge accepted.
We are so excited to have Dr. Heidi Waldorf here. She's a dermatologist, not only a dermatologist, my dermatologist. This is the woman that sticks needles in my face. That's how much I love her. You know how much I love you, too? You have your private practice in Nanuet. People, I drive my ass up to Nanuet. I don't know, what is that, an hour and a half?
No. It depends. If you have a laser radar detector like I do, when I drive out, it's about 30 minutes. But I do appreciate it.
Yes, I really drive all the way there for you.
I appreciate it.
And she was also voted, I love this year, one of Real Self's most loved injectors.
I love being loved.
That's a good title, though. You're an injector. So welcome to Fat Mascara.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Okay, so when I said I want you on the podcast, because I'm selfish, I wanted to talk about anti-aging and cosmetic injectables. But I know that's not all you do and not all you always did. So when you started your practice years ago, you weren't just sticking needles in people's faces.
Well, when I started my practice, I hate to tell you how long ago, it was 1995. We didn't have these injectables.
That's what
they didn't even exist.
Yeah.
And I actually was on the first DVD that was in most doctors' offices. I think it may have been a video first, of advertising Botox. So back then, it was so long ago that when we made the video, we pretend injected. We didn't real inject. That's how they were doing the videos back then. So it has really evolved. And I always tell people, whatever you're doing, just keep playing to your strengths. And what you do will evolve. I started in derm, first of all, thinking I was never going into derm because my father's a dermatologist.
Oh, my second question is about your dad, yeah.
Yes, you know, it was like pass the potatoes. Have I mentioned that dermatology has given us everything we have here today?
You should follow in my
footsteps.
Good
morning, you know, I am waiting for you, et cetera. So I actually went into med school thinking I was going to be the Surgeon General. I really like public policy. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I'm a very tangible person. I like instant gratification and results. So everything I had led me to dermatology. I'm also very visual.
Yeah.
And my mom, before she was a lawyer, was an artist, did multimedia art. So I'm visual.
Yeah.
I got that from both sides. So ultimately, derm had me no matter what. And when I found my high school yearbook when I was moving a few years ago, I looked through it and started to read some of the notes that all said, see you when you're a dermatologist.
So people
just, if your skin is good and your dad's a derm, they assume you're going to be derm.
How do you, like, I mean, obviously this is why you're a big part of why you're successful. Like this is your bread and butter, but how do you feel about it? I mean, right now there's such a funny thing that's happening in the beauty conversation. It's like, and it's kind of fashionable. It's very politically correct, but like, you know, embrace your aging. Anti-aging is, you know, banned in some publications. It's a funny time.
I think that there are different ways to look at this. And whenever you look at it in the extreme, it's a problem. For me, it was a natural progression because, remember, dealing with the skin and doing, when I was doing skin exams also, and looking for cancer, I spent a lot of time talking to people about what they could do to make their skin better. Mm-hmm. And whether I was seeing a teenager with acne, mm-hmm. or an adult, you know, an older person with skin cancer, a lot of that focused on sun protection. And very often, the way you got those people to do better with it was focusing on how they were going to look.
Scaring them by saying you're going to look like a
right.
old baseball
appeal
glove.
To their vanity.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And even with moisturizing, you know, you'd see someone's arm and they'd say, and I'd feel itchy just looking at their arm. And they'd say, oh, it doesn't bother me. And then I would just grab some cream of some kind, rub it on one arm and say, do you see how that arm looks 10 years younger than the other one?
Yeah.
Would you start moisturizing every day? So, and if it's daytime, make it a sunblock moisturizer.
Can you tell how old a woman is just by looking at her? Because now it's a little tricky.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of, not every woman, of course, but a lot of women do have some help.
Like Jennifer Lopez, come on. If she just stepped off a spaceship, you'd be like, how old is she?
Also, see, and some younger girls have things, and now I think they look older. It's creepy.
You know, this goes back to what you were saying before about aging. And are we allowed to age? Are we not allowed to age? And I think the key should be looking at it like we look at hair color or anything else. What makes you feel good about you? And often it's how you look, who you're with, and what helps you walk around feeling confident. For me, I am generally told that I look younger now than I did in my 30s. And I can see that because we didn't have fillers when I was in my 30s and I was about 20 pounds lighter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look back and want to feed me a sandwich from those days. And I think with women that I see, it is hard to judge. For example, I had a patient who I had seen for years, and I never looked at her age. She was just so sun damaged. And she came in one day, and because of some things that came up in her life, we couldn't do the treatment we were planning, and we had to sort of reassess. Mm-hmm. And I happened to open it, and I noticed she was 9 months younger than I was exactly.
And you always
thought she looked 20 years older. And I looked at her, I looked down, and I looked at her, and I said, do you realize that you're only 9 months younger than I am? You're not only not older, and this is not the wind that you keep saying is causing your skin problems. And we took a picture of our hands next to each other. And, you know, it finally got her in to do some rejuvenation, some Fraxel, because for her it was the skin quality. Now, I also agree with you that when people start too much too early, they can look overdone and look older.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. What are some of the things that make women look older?
Obviously, skin quality. If you don't have good skin quality and you have too much sun damage, you've been smoking, cigarettes, so your skin is going to look bad.
Is some of the skin quality genetic? Like, could you be born with bad skin quality? I worked with someone I remember because, you know, I work in beauty. My desk has all these lotions and potions on it. She didn't believe that any of this stuff mattered. She goes, you're born with good skin or you're not. End of story. Sometimes I get really angry. Like, I just had to learn to drop it because she wasn't going to. She had her mind made up, and I was like, yeah, obviously, like, everyone's dealt a hand of cards. Like, your metabolism is your metabolism, but that doesn't mean, like, oh, I don't have a fast metabolism. I'm just going to, like, order, like, you know, KFC tonight. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's the perfect analogy, the absolute perfect analogy. Because, for example, when people tell me, well, your skin, you were born that way. Yes, I was born this way, but if I had been using a reflector and baby oil
instead of
doing my wild child years as SPF 8 when the top was 15. I mean, I thought I was a rebel when I did that because my dad was a derm.
Do you think the kids of derms look like better than everybody
else?
Well,
it depends if they were, you know, I'm I'm a Jewish eldest daughter, granddaughter, Capricorn, the whole shebang. So, of course, I followed rules.
Yeah.
There is environment and there is genetics. And so just like there will be someone who smokes their whole life and never gets lung cancer, and there's someone else who has never smoked, has never lived with a smoker, and they die of lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We all have DNA that has a different ability to repair itself. Mm-hmm. There's a spectrum. So you can have somebody who's tan all the time and never gets a skin cancer and is, you know, preternaturally youthful. Mm-hmm. But that's not the average.
So what are some other things? I took you off course. You were saying like some things that would make someone look, some things that can make a woman look older. So the sun damage.
Sun damage is the big one. Smoking.
Like things, the bad quality of skin.
Bad quality skin. Yo-yo dieting is a biggie because your skin can't keep up. The elasticity just can't keep
mm-hmm.
up. So people who go, you know, 10, 20, 30 pounds up and down, and some do.
Yeah.
That affects
they're
your going
skin.
To sag
you
more.
You also said to me, I remember one time I came in and she's like, oh, do you sleep on your left side? And I was like, yes, why? And you told me because sleeping on your side, yeah. like she could tell where my wrinkles were from how I slept. Isn't
how
that
do you
crazy?
Even know what side you sleep on? I don't know.
I always wake up facing the table. I don't know.
Really?
And okay. for yeah. some of us, it is a big thing. Now, ideally, we'd all sleep on our backs. I can tell you I can't do it. And I think the stress of not sleeping would be worse than the thinness of one side of my face versus the other. But I use a pillowcase that's one of those, you know, the copper fiber materials so that it's rejuvenative or at least cuts down on some of the sleep lines. And one of a chopped up foam pillow so at least it's not fighting my face
you
like the
do?
Down
did. You don't think that's BS?
I wake up with fewer sleep lines. I can't tell you that it's going to change the pressure aspect.
Yeah.
But I wake up with fewer of those sleep
lines.
I
just started waking up with those. I never knew what women were talking
about.
What is
a chopped up foam pillow?
You know, the foam Tempur-Pedic type pillows. Oh. I find those so heavy and I can't fluff them. So they make the ones that are sort of the chopped up material, so it feels more downy.
I had it at a hotel recently.
Yeah.
I don't even, I've never seen this.
It's like cotton balls inside, but firmer than cotton balls.
Yeah.
The Tempur-Pedics are quite hot.
The new ones have ventilation. And then there are also other pillows. There are pillow shapes so that your face is not pressed in. I get sent pillows.
Nurse Jamie just came out with one of those, and it looks like
really?
It looks like a weird sex toy blown up and stuffed with stuff. Like
yes, there's one that looks like a almost like a sideways X, but
yes,
a little bendy.
The of course,
then
I said
there's
a sex toy.
Another nurse.
Sorry.
No, I knew exactly what you were talking about because of your description. But then there are these nurses up in Canada who have their Envy pillow, and the way mm-hmm. they do theirs is it's almost hollowed out in the middle,
so your cheek isn't really pressing
right.
on
there's
anything.
There's something called My Magic Pillow that's always advertised on television. You see that? It's like, as seen on TV. It's like a
my
older
pillow.
Man.
Yes, that's my pillow.
Oh, my
now,
my
I
pillow.
Love
yeah, my
pillow. I am a my pillow devotee. I get no money. Hello, my pillow. Send me my pillows.
I was going to order it, but I was like, am I crazy? I'm
no,
so
I love that pillow.
Okay, I'm ordering it tonight.
But I also love, even better, they make their travel pillows. And so it's a tiny little pillow you can roll up. And so for the airplane. And then also, in our office, I found on our exam tables, the pillows that came with the exam tables were they're hard.
Yeah.
And then some other pillows were too fluffy. And these were, as they say in the Three Bears, just right. So they're
the My
perfect.
Pillow is
the
on
My
your-
Pillow. And it's washable. So we put it under other things, but that's our little baby travel My Pillow we have throughout my office.
They're made in the USA.
And they're made in the USA.
Yeah, they're refundable.
I know what to get you now for your birthday.
For my wedding gift.
Perfect. Both you and Jeff are getting My Pillows.
My Pillows. How do we put them
on
the registry?
I think to work on the name.
It's perfect.
These
we
were good, though,
because I feel like a lot of women are like, is that BS or no?
Yeah,
I don't
it
know.
Really depends how you sleep. And I also, after certain procedures, I do like the patients to sleep on their back. So if they like Silhouette, the suture lift. So they're more comfortable also if they sleep on their back. They swell less. So there are those little donut pillows that you can fold like a U so that it cradles your head.
And you won't be able to
and you're
slide
not
around.
Rolling over as much. But again, I'm one of those people who says my patients have enough stress.
Yeah, if it's going to stress
I'm not going to add more stress by telling them how to sleep or how to eat. Yeah. I'll deal with their sunscreen and not smoking and having procedures.
Well, so you're not going to give us any advice on like what to eat or anything?
Like, I'm sorry.
You're not one of those people that's like, oh, eat berries for good skin?
I think... I'm going to sound very old-fashioned.
That's fine.
I think eat a colorful rainbow diet so that you have, it's like your mother used to say, you know, you have your greens, you have your oranges, you have all of that stuff. And then guess what? You're going to get the antioxidants. The problem I have with so many of these diets is the extremeness of it. So, for example, if you are doing a Super Size Me type diet, mm-hmm. you know, where your liver functions are going horribly high and you even smell disgusting, mm-hmm. like the guy did who was eating yeah. McDonald's all the time. Yes, you change your diet in any way, your skin is going to be better. But for the person who's eating generally healthy, I don't see a benefit to suddenly switching to eat salmon every day. Also because we know that there isn't enough wild salmon on the planet
to allow you to do that.
So then you're going to have a problem with mercury.
Yeah.
So I do agree with eating fish. Yeah. I do agree with eating berries. I eat fiber cereal in the morning with my blueberries because quite honestly, I just really like it.
Me
and
too.
I put dark chocolate chips in my cereal because I like that too.
That's our kind of woman.
Yeah.
How to live.
Hey, you gotta live.
Heidi knows how to live.
I'm telling you, baby. And you know, the key is what is going to make you feel better. For some people, clearly, control of their diet gives them a sense of control and makes them feel better.
Yeah.
And it gives them a sense of feeling better. For me, the minute I think about my diet, I overeat. And I go crazy because I have to eat what my body tells me.
And
now
then,
I'm very lucky
that
works for me. And I have no diabetes in my family. I have, no high cholesterol and all of that. But my weight has always been fine.
Yeah.
So I think, though, you have to know yourself. It's just like with skincare regimens. The joke is that some of my, dear Derm Diva besties and I speak together and we'll be up on a podium about the classic what's in your medicine cabinet lectures.
Yes.
And they will have, 12 steps programs. And which they really do because I've shared rooms with some of these girls and they really do. They take them with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're 12 steps. And then I get up and say, I don't wash my face at night. And people are shocked.
I mean, you are a dermatologist.
I am, but you know what the thing is? I'm not recommending that for everyone. I have no acne.
Yeah.
I wear minimal, if any, makeup, and I have dark pillowcases to, so the mascara doesn't show.
But you wash it in the morning?
I wash my face in the morning in the shower. Now, if I'm showering at night, I've washed my face in the shower.
Okay.
But if I've worn more makeup, if I've been at, on TV or a photo shoot or at an event, then I take out, the pre-moistened towelettes.
Oh, you do a wipe.
And I do a wipe thing.
What wipes do you like?
I like any of the sensitive skin ones that are moist enough. So the ones I personally like, Simple makes a great one, Neutrogena, Almay, Garnier. For some reason, I really like that Garnier one in the green.
Yeah.
Because they're moist enough and they don't sting my eyes.
I need a dry wipe.
Oh, yeah.
And
or if, like, the seal doesn't seal, so they all dry out real quickly. Ugh. They feel like it's,
here's
like, scratching.
Here's my hint from Heidi. Always put them in a Ziploc.
Instead of what it comes in.
No, leave them in what it comes in and then put that in a Ziploc.
Goody.
Plus, it's great for traveling because I travel so much.
Yeah.
Since, as you know, I'm, bouncing all over the place lecturing, which I love to do, and I think it gives me better ideas, so to speak, when I come back for my patients. But I like to have carry-on.
Yeah.
So the wipes are great either when you're on an overnight flight to clean your face in the morning. And they're also good just to travel. And if I know I might be having eye makeup that's a little more, I'll throw into the same baggie a few of, like, the Almay makeup remover, eye makeup remover pad discs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that helps.
You know, as you're talking, I'm like looking at your face like she's right. Then my eyes travel downwards because you're wearing a V-neck. I have never seen a blonde woman with a less speckled chest. You don't have one spot on your chest.
I have no one spot. I have no spot
what
anywhere.
What did you do?
Sunscreen. And when
really?
We were and in
look
the
at
70s.
Look at her decollete.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry to be looking
no,
at
No, no. Feel free.
It was like
got,
shocking
wait,
to me.
And I have, you can see when they gave me my little tattoo for breast cancer, they're like, oh, no one ever sees that. I said, trust me. They'll
on
see
you,
that.
It'll show because wow. you have no
yeah.
other spots.
But then I was going to zap it's it with a cool. laser, but wow. I figured, yeah, I'll keep it. But wow. it's I don't have a spot because people – when they would come in and show me their skin or I would do his skin exam and I'd say, would you look at your boobs versus the rest of your skin? And they go, well, that's the way it is. I said, look, we're not like dogs where we have like a white underbelly. This is this is from sun and no sun.
Yeah.
And
wow.
that's
oh, yeah.
the way it is. And growing up before we had all the cool like J. Crew even makes, you know, and J. Crew and
UPF
every surfer,
clothing
all
whatever,
this UPF
yeah.
clothing and the rash guards, the surfer like rash guards. When my family was in Florida, you know, every winter midwinter break visiting grandma and grandpa, going swimming was more like drowning because we wore heavy cotton t-shirts because they couldn't be lightweight cotton t-shirts because the sun would get through when they're...
Oh my God, your dad was crazy.
Yeah. And then, but also I was lucky because then mom brushed my hair back so I wouldn't have a part because if you've ever had that yeah, sunburn yeah. in the part,
oh,
it is
good
nasty.
Yeah. Do a ponytail that's like brushed back instead
exactly.
of a parted one.
And
full of ideas.
I have so many ideas. And so I've had a handful of sunburns. And I do remember being with friends at the beach going, did I get any? Did I get any? You know, with the tan. But mine was so relative. And when I would come back from, you know, my 4 days I'd have off between reading period when they would always extend our exams, like the science exams would be on the last day and second semester in college. These were the days of People Express where you could go from Boston down to Florida for $20.
Oh, my gosh.
Before they went bust. It was amazing. so I'd come back, and I used to use something called India Earth. Now, you guys are probably way too
oh,
young.
No,
do you remember India?
Christopher Buckle talked about that.
India Earth. That's what I had. And it was basically clay.
Yeah.
It was ground up clay in a little pot. And that's what you used
oh,
as
to
the
look
bronzer.
Bronze. I'm pretty sure it was Christopher. Maybe it was... Christopher, sorry if it wasn't you, but somebody...
It was like a terracotta
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
it was
somebody.
Completely terracotta, and it was yeah. a total mess. And remember, these were the days...
How'd that look with your fair skin?
You know, people would always say, you look so great. The blue eyes look great with that. The one thing my then roommate would always be on the lookout for, because this was the early 80s. I graduated from college in 86.
Yeah.
So this was preppy time. I was wearing, you know, white turtlenecks that had little things
oh,
on
dear.
Them. So the edge, you kept having to refold
oh,
it because that would
get just
some
get the
clay
dirt
on
down.
It. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a look. But so
it was a look.
Yeah.
That's what moms say when it's not good. They're like,
right.
It's a look.
So I finally realized I was going to give up on this whole concept of trying to look tan.
Yeah.
It also freaked me out because I would get color and then I'd look and first I'd think looking in the mirror, oh my God, my face has a little swelling. It's that I probably ruined my skin forever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So,
you
see enough covers of Cutis magazine lying around your home with disgusting pictures and you realize that that's,
you don't
want to go
that.
There.
Do we hear a lot of time from our listeners with neurotoxins, cosmetic neurotoxins with filler, they're afraid to do them at all because if they can't afford to keep doing them or they stop doing them, they think they're going to look even older
see,
when they're
in
done.
In fact,
is that the truth?
The studies don't play that out. And I can tell even you,
even
in seeing
like
my patients.
A toxin to like atrophy a muscle, will
because
it just wither away?
No, because first of all, think about your arm.
Yeah.
Okay, you break your arm. You're in a cast.
Mm-hmm.
The cast comes off.
It's skinny, skinny, and
yes.
hairy. That's what
but
happened
to
me.
But now the cast ugh. Is off.
Yeah.
Guess what? Does your arm go back? Yes. You work out enough, the arm goes back.
That's very
so
true.
The muscles come back. The other thing, though, I will say is with the fillers, we know in different by different mechanisms, hyaluronic acids, calcium hydroxylapatite, polylactic acid, those categories stimulate collagen in different ways. So even if you use them and then you stop, you are not going to stretch out your skin. Your skin is going to be better not worse. I actually did a Mythbusters on that because people ask me all the time, if I stop, will my skin have stretched out or what will I do? Mm-hmm. And I have seen many patients who I saw, did treatment, and then they moved away, they didn't have treatment, or they had something in the family or mm-hmm. in work that they just could not get in for 3 years. It happens. I mean, I know from mm-hmm. my own life, I had 2 years where I sort of fell off the planet with the whole cancer thing. Mm-hmm. And so they come back and they look better than they would have. They right. still, they all, even though they're several years older,
yeah,
they, depending on what they did before, they look better for having had something done. Mm-hmm. They still look better than their before picture.
It had some like long-term effects.
Right. Okay. Some benefit.
Okay.
So I think you have to know what you're doing. I don't put anything permanent into the face.
Okay. Right.
One of the joys to me of things that dissolve is that we're not permanent.
Yeah.
And this way, as I tell my patients, I can follow their faces. So I look at their face and it's, what do they need today?
Right.
Where is it that we need? What are we doing? And, you know, in a sense, it's why I like my trainer. Same thing. It's not like we have leg day and arm day and leg day
right.
and arm day.
Right.
It's like, well, what are you feeling, you know, today?
Yeah.
And let's see how we're balancing. Oh, you were traveling. Your shoulders are bad. Okay, let's do stretching mm-hmm. there and work on the lower. Something like that.
Yeah.
So it, I think we can follow and see as our aging process goes along. I would, however, say it's one of the reasons I don't use, threads that don't dissolve, the barbed threads.
That's freaky.
And also, while I think implants are great, if you're going to have an actual implant put in, make sure you know the plastic surgeon or facial plastic surgeon very well and you've really talked about it, because the permanent implants, you know, that's a done deal.
Story.
And if you don't know if you want them, maybe try it out with filler first.
Mm.
Also, if you've had an implant, tell your dermatologist, because we cannot inject around that.
Oh, God,
good,
that sounds
know.
Like a disaster. So you are known for having the best skin in the derm field. What are you actually using?
Sunscreen.
I knew you were going to say that. Give us more.
Yeah,
that's
a little snoozy. Come on.
It may be snoozy, but I have an armamentarium of sunscreen. I have sunscreen for different occasions.
Oh, okay.
So I have right now on a daily basis, I'm using the Isdin Erifotone Actinica, which has the, it's the one from Spain. It has.
Our intern's like furiously writing down letters.
I like it because it's silky. It's a shake
the
lotion.
It's Spanish, yes.
And it has this DNA repair enzyme in it, which in their studies, using the European model, their European version of the sunscreen, they had people had reduced development of actinic keratoses.
Well,
now,
those are precancerous
okay. lesions. So
I'll
can't tell
for
you
Dr.
how.
Waldorf.
Thank you. I can't tell you how that translates into anti-aging, but I can tell you that it feels good. I like it. It's easy to put on, and my skin feels good. Patients like it too. I've also used the Elta MD UV Clear because that's an easy one. And prior to that, I've also used Eucerin and a number of them. And I like having something that has some zinc in it as well as the chemicals. The whole concept is, though, that zinc doesn't have to look white anymore. Now, obviously, on me, it's not going to, but I also tell people, you know, I know at this point it's second nature to me, when I put on sunscreen and it has zinc in it, I'm not rubbing anything in circles. I mean, this whole thing that you have to use your pinky for something and your forefinger for another and your thumb for another is silly. I use my hands and I just rub in a straight line, because then it's not like sand in a beach that's getting lopped up together in little balls.
So if you have a zinkish sunscreen, you want people to smooth it on evenly.
Yeah, and then you can
not
just
rub in circles, because they're making little
spreading
pockets
it.
Of zinc.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And then I moisturize. I'm dry. So until, I would say, until menopause, I mostly use Vaseline as a moisturizer when I needed something dry. But then with menopause, I was sweating, and Vaseline is not good mixed with sweat.
Just plain old jar of Vaseline.
Oh, I am the queen of Vaseline. Oh, you know, in my Big Fat Greek Wedding, how the guy said about
the Windex.
For me, it's Vaseline.
That's so funny.
When in doubt, you will never go wrong putting Vaseline on something.
But I heard Aquaphor is like more breathable than Vaseline.
I'm fine with Aquaphor, but Aquaphor has lanolin in it. And there are people who can't have lanolin. Mm. White petrolatum is completely bland. Now, the first time I was ever interviewed by a magazine and mentioned Vaseline, back in the 90s, they forwarded a letter from someone from California to me saying that I was part of the industrial chemical complex and, you know, this whole thing because petroleum and all that. And it's nothing to do with petroleum. So I have nothing to do with the oil companies, but I like white petrolatum, which is very bland. Now I like things that are more cosmetically elegant.
Yeah, because you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know, I mean, I love, for me, what works great for my skin, the Caudalie Premier Cru Creme Riche. Why do I love it?
Good moisturizer.
The aroma feels
great. You really
moved
on up from Vaseline, didn't you?
I know. But you know what?
What do you wash with when you do wash?
Well, okay. So first of all, just to say with moisturizers, I can play around, but I don't use, the only things I will say that I go back to again and again are sunscreen. And I have, as I said, different sunscreens for different days and times and brushes and waxes and all of this. And then my moisturizer, and those I always have to have with me because I might put the moisturizer over under the sunscreen. If I need it at night, I'll use it. Washing, I, again, keep going back to Neostrata, which Neostrata is the company that this guy Van Scott developed. It was the first company with appropriately balanced and pH-balanced alpha-hydroxy acids. And in their newer skin active line, they have a gentle foaming wash. Mm-hmm. And I had never used a foam. Mm-hmm. But this one has gentle surfactants, and it's a gentle exfoliant. It's not scrubby. It has alpha hydroxy, and my doesn't burn my eyes, and my face feels good. And I use it in the shower, very easy. And the, you know, I guess I also am a little crazy. I like the fact, as a side bonus for me, that my dad trained with Van Scott.
Aww.
So, which is kind of, yeah, it's an awe moment.
Wait, before we let you go, you're discerning. You told us your skincare. Any favorite makeup products? We always ask people when they leave.
Yes. Well, I will tell, I am a Tom Ford girl. And it is because he's a genius. And the colors work for me.
Listen, he didn't develop the Estee Lauder.
I know
Lauder
he didn't.
But
I know. So what I'm saying is the colors work
the
for
colors
me.
The colors are
good. So I think.
What's on your eyes right now?
On my eyes is Sphinx.
It's
which
beautiful.
I love.
Jess, that would look good on
it's
you.
I was eyeing that the moment you came in.
And I get so many compliments. And what I love about it is, it's a cream in a little pot that I don't need anything but like my finger to put it on.
You just push that on with the finger?
Just with the finger. And no particular finger. Any which one will work. And I love it's one step, and mm-hmm. it can make me feel finished. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend I got it for who is my coloring, but her skin is very different. She's oily, and she loves it too and says that unlike other creams, it doesn't crease.
Oh.
So I love that. Mascara is always a thing. And the one thing I don't buy expensive at all is mascara because you're supposed to be throwing that out. So
yeah.
Some people are Maybelline girls. I'm a L'Oreal girl. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, their formulations work for me, and I do that. And then I use either Latisse. I alternate for my eyebrows and eyelashes between Latisse and now using the Rodan and Fields version.
Oh.
Because it has a similar ingredient.
Okay. Mm.
But they are useful. You know what? Keep it. It's the old KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And this is why I'm self-maintenance.
Good tips.
Okay.
Keep it simple. A new idea. Thank you so much for coming to be on Fat Mascara.
Thank you, guys. I hope in this rambling that some useful information
ideas.
Came out.
We got lots of ideas.
Ideas are good.
Thank you. Okay. Do you know what it's time for?
It's time to raise a wand. Let's do it.
Okay. Me?
You go.
Okay. So I'm using a new cleanser, and I used to be all about the foam. But I know the foam can be drying.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried Beauty Pie Japan Fusion Cleanser.
Okay.
It's like a serum or a balm. I can't even describe it. You put it on and you feel like you're rubbing in a fancy, expensive serum. And then a little water gets involved and we have an emulsify thing happen. And it just sort of like melts everything away and you're just beautiful afterwards. I feel like the Japan Fusion thing is like her version of K-beauty. I don't know. I don't know why it's called Japan Fusion.
I don't know if the Japanese would like that.
I don't know, but it's called Beauty Pie Japan Fusion Pure Transforming Cleanser. And like if you have reactive skin, redness, rosacea, I have all that stuff, dryness, end of winter, it's just like, it's like washing your face in moisturizer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that
but
sounds
in a good
lovely.
Way.
That sounds really nice.
You know what else is lovely? It's $6.41.
And
if you're a Beauty Pie member,
Does it take off your makeup? You said
oh, 100%.
Okay.
So it it's a very good melty. Like, there must be oils in it, so you don't need the makeup remover and then the cleanser.
Does it come with a pump? Is it you?
No,
you pump
it's a squeezy tube. I know you love a pump, but it's very thick, so I think that's why it's in a tube, not a pump.
Okay.
But I endorse.
I also am going budget friendly today because I know that the past couple of ones have been pretty pricey. So, guys, I'm conscious of that.
Keep it real.
Ready? Garnier Fructis 1 minute hair masks. Have you seen these little chubby guys?
Are they the little pod ones or the envelope-y
not the
ones?
Pods, but the pods are just minis of the guys that come in these little baby tubs.
Yeah.
So these little tubs are under $3. You can get them anywhere, like Target, like, you know, depending on how, you know, fancy your grocery store is, you can get them there. I have really like thick hair, so I went through like three uses for one tub. Like I really like I've put this stuff on like in heavy doses.
Yeah.
But I used the color one this week and I know that it has added shine and vibrancy to my hair.
What did I say to you? You don't even remember. I saw you at an event on Friday and what did I say?
You said my hair looked shiny or something.
I said, did you get a gloss?
Remember, oh, you did.
I thought you got a color gloss.
Yeah, so
was
I,
this what it was?
I washed my hair on Thursday night. So yes.
You didn't put that together.
No, I didn't. That's so funny.
And it's because of this product. So which variety is it?
Well, to be fair, I also used the Lush Hair Custard 2 that day too.
Oh.
So we cannot isolate which
double
one it was.
Variable. Oh,
Double variable. But this is a great product. It smells good. It feels very creamy.
And very inexpensive.
Very inexpensive. And all kinds of, like, you know, for people that are concerned about things like parabens and silicones and they don't want all that jazz in their products, it doesn't have any of that.
Just the good stuff.
Just the good stuff. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.